Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
8, 7.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the very first hashtag Miranda show of 2020. We are very excited to have you. And I said we, I'll introduce my colleague, you know, my co-host, all of that later on. But yes, we have made it to 2020, a new decade, a new horizon. I think we're supposed to have like flying cars and stuff like that now. I don't see any, you know, but, you know, the decade is still early, so maybe we'll see a flying car out there. Who knows? You know, the Jetsons may have lied to us, but this is just a new decade, a new day to talk professional wrestling. So this week we have a great topic for you, one that I am personally invested in. Again, I'm going to go a little bit more into detail on that. Gonna, you know, let that simmer a little bit, let you guess. But before we do that, again, my name is Miranda Morales. I am the host of the hashtag Miranda Show. This show is part of the ChairShot Radio Network, and you can go to thechairshot.com for all your pro wrestling news, analysis, and opinions.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Yes, if you are a fan of professional wrestling news, you can go to thechairshot.com. You can also follow thechairshot.com, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. But yes, I'm don't do this alone. I wouldn't know what I'd be doing as far as all the buttons and logistics and all that. But that is why I have my co-host who joins me every week. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Greg DeMarco.
This is my yard now.
It's so funny. Like they say, you know, the best type of leader can be a follower. And this is the time of the week where I'm merely a follower. I am but a follower of the soft style army. I am just a number, just an insignificant peon on the world of...
You could be like a general in the army. I mean, I'm not quite sure about all the rankings, but like you're not just you know, just part of the army. I think you know, you hold a leadership position within the soft style army.
You're killing my gimmick already. Like gimmick, what? Over, dead. I'm trying to I guess that, you know what? I think I was trying to go full Patrick there and be all like, woe is me. And you're right. I just can't do that.
Yeah, a little bit of the Eeyore.
I really, there's no Eeyore in me whatsoever.
Here comes the big dog. The big dog, Roman Reigns.
You know.
Which wrestling like character do you consider yourself? If you're not an Eeyore.
So who is the most egotistical, biggest asshole on Winnie the Pooh? That's me.
Ooh. That's
was that rabbit, owl? Who is that? Tigger.
I don't know. Owl kind of wise. Tigger, I don't think he's egotistical, but he definitely, you know, thinks
he has his own song. He sings his own song about himself. He literally says the wonderful thing about Tigger is Tigger's a wonderful thing. I think he's an egomaniac, honestly.
And perfect. Perfect for you.
Son of a bitch.
Yes.
Put my Miranda card right there. See, that's right. Yeah.
That's terrible. I'm Piglet because I'm adorable. Even though I downplay my adorableness. Piglet knows how adorable he is, and he downplays that
I was
shit.
Like, you don't, at least not, okay, maybe you do outwardly.
Sometimes. Whatever. When necessary, which is most of the time, you know? I bring it out sometimes, but, I mean, I'm just fucking adorable. I'm just like Piglet.
Wild card, bitches!
And speaking of the Soft Style Army, you can join the Soft Style Army by going to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot, where you can buy your very own chair shot t-shirt in the style of soft, in soft style. You can also get the hashtag, well, it's not the hashtag, but you can get the Queen of Soft Style t-shirt. This is hashtag Miranda on it. You can get the OG chair shot shirt. You can get the hashtag journalism shirt or hashtag save tag team wrestling shirt. Just a huge variety of t-shirts available. prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot, and you can support this site. You can support all of the other podcasts that are represented on there. And yeah, you can also get a badass t-shirt. Hello.
It's a win-win.
Win-win-win-win.
It's literally a good decision. Yes. That's what happens. When you order a shirt from the chair shot at prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot, when you click submit order, you'll literally hear this. That's how it works. Don't believe me? Try it. If it doesn't work, try it again. Maybe there was an error.
Yeah, try it again.
If it doesn't work, try it the third time.
You may have to do it a few times.
You may have to do it 4, 5, I don't know. But yeah.
And make sure you add to your cart every time you do it. I think the more you add to your cart, the louder you can hear it more.
Yes, and part of the problem is if you don't select a soft style shirt, it definitely won't happen. In fact, if you place your order and it's not a soft style shirt, you'll still get the shirt and you'll still pay for it. And we'll still get the commission.
You want to hear the good ringing, the good ding, 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 ding. So make sure.
Yes, that's how that works. So
make sure you get a soft style t-shirt.
The only style there is, really.
The only style there is. Greg, there's also something else our listeners can do. And they can get a free month of Power Slam TV. Is that, I mean, I know we don't like to talk about wrestling news with a Z, but that's something I've been hearing. I need you to verify the truth.
So, sources close to me tell me that, God, I can't even say that with a straight face. And I have sources close to me. I just don't ever use them. Because if I did, I wouldn't have them anymore. No, head on over to powerslam.tv. Use the promo. Look, you can go to powerslam.tv and you can get yourself a free week. You don't need a promo code to get a free week. But if you use the promo code ChairShot, you get a free month. You get 4 of them weeks. You get 30 days, okay? That's almost as long as I've been off social media. Actually, it's a lot longer than that. Go on over to powerslam.tv, put in the promo code ChairShot. You'll get over 6,000 hours of content, over 150 of your favorite wrestling promotions, and Combat Zone Wrestling. I mean, there is literally there's no reason why you wouldn't want to do this. You can't go wrong. Powerslam.tv, promo code ChairShot.
Are you looking for the newest and hottest in the world of pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on Powerslam.tv. Are you looking for the newest and hottest?
Hey, we're gonna have some fun with this. I'm going wild card.
Wild card, bitches!
Are you looking for the newest and hottest in the world of pro wrestling?
I am! Holy sh... How'd you know?
Then check out the amazing action on powerslam.tv.
Like what? Like, what can I find at powerslam.tv?
The biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 6,000 hours of the best events from over 150 of your favorite promotions.
Like who?
From 20 different countries around the globe. Brands like Progress Wrestling, Evolve Wrestling, Combat Zone, Defy, PCW Ultra, PWX, Over the Top, Shine, and hundreds of others.
Wait, did you say Combat Zone? Okay, you said Combat Zone Wrestling, but I'm still going to do it.
Fresh content added every day.
Every day? That's amazing.
Every day.
Every day, fresh content added.
For only $5.99 per month. Get your free trial today at powerslam.tv.
It's powerslam.tv. Promo code CHAIRSHOT.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Now back to you.
Especially for those fans who will eventually get tired of their WWE Network subscription, the WWE doing something so vile that you hate it and you decide to cancel your subscription, take that money, invest it into a subscription of powerslam.tv.
That's right. When you tweet that you're canceling the WWE Network and you don't actually cancel WWE Network, you can still sign up for powerslam.tv and use that as your proof that you canceled the WWE Network, because yep, you get a free month by using the promo code CHAIRSHOT. So we are literally supporting your whack-ass lying selves out there who are claiming you're canceling the WWE Network. But I'm still going to...
Greg is out guns blazing today.
I am doing that right now. Do that again. What kind of season is it?
Shoot season.
That's right. I know exactly. So I made a tweet the other day. You didn't see it, obviously, because it's on Twitter.
No, because I am not on Twitter.
I literally went on there to do like my once every 1 or 2 day check-in. And I was scrolling through and you know, the date, November 1st was the day that I deleted these apps off my phone. And it was probably like January 5th or 6th, right?
Yes.
What were you saying? You were saying something else.
I do now. November 1st. Absolutely. Remember it.
Of course you do. But November 1st, I deleted it off. I went back on and I was scrolling through on January 5th. The same garbage that was on there on November 1st. The same complaints, the same tweets, the same everything was happening over 2 months later. It just hasn't changed. That's why I know you're out there claiming you're going to cancel WWE Network, and you're not going to, but we'll support you by giving you a free month of powerslam.tv with the promo code CHAIRSHOT. I'm on to your games, Twitter people, but we'll still help and support you.
All right, enough, Greg, because we got a really awesome topic for this week's show. Greg and I are going to be discussing the upcoming pay-per-view. It is Impact's Hard to Kill that will be coming out from Dallas, Texas this Sunday. The primary reason I wanted to discuss this with Greg, one, I mean, we try to diversify our topics as much as, you know, many podcasts talk a lot about WWE, AEW. Impact has continued to go and grow in popularity, especially since they've moved over to Access TV. And Hard to Kill has been a pay-per-view that this company's really been pushing and building up towards. Also, because your girl, yours truly, will be there. I will be in Dallas, Texas. I will be at Impact's Hard to Kill. This will be my very first Impact show. Very first Impact pay-per-view. So I am thrilled to have this this chance to go. And, you know, I want to be prepared. I want to go in there and, you know, have you know, just be ready to experience what an Impact show is like. Greg, have you ever been to an Impact show before?
I have. I've been to two. I'm trying to think if I've been any more besides the two. I went to Bound for Glory in 2010, I think. It was here in Phoenix. Let me look it up. Basically, it was Austin Aries versus Jeff Hardy was the main event, and a lot of other. No, it wasn't 2010 because that was in Daytona Beach, Florida. Now I'm just going up. It wasn't 2011. Maybe it was 2012. It was 2012 at the Grand Canyon University Arena. Great, great show. I loved it. Very much enjoyed it and a lot of fun. And yep, so I went to that one. And then in 2014, Patrick O'Dowd and I actually went to Slammiversary in Boston. So we had a great opportunity to do that and got to enjoy that show as well. So I've been to two Impact Wrestling events in my life. Two.
Yeah, two.
Funny, little known fact by most people listening to the show. For maybe a year, I did the live coverage of Impact Wrestling for 411 Mania and would get in trouble when I would put in pictures of like Brock Lesnar and other non-Impact Wrestling or TNA at the time things. And then I covered one pay-per-view and I never, ever, ever want to cover a pay-per-view again because at least the TV show had commercials and so things would stop. And you get a break. But pay-per-view was just 3 hours of nonstop madness, and I couldn't even. I had to come up. And it was like a last-minute thing. Like they were like, okay, I can't cover it. Can you cover it? And so I did, and I was like, never again will I ever do that. But, yeah, little known fact. People might remember. I did the Thursday night weekly coverage of Impact Wrestling, or TNA at the time, TNA Impact, for 411mania.com back in the day, so to speak.
In the days.
So I've been to two, and you're going to your first one.
I'm going to my very first one.
You're
so
welcome.
Very excited. This is just an awesome way to kick off 2020. Last year, I mean, for those who don't know, which if you don't know, then this may be your very first time ever listening to us ever because we talk about this
comes
all
up
the time.
Every other week.
Yeah, it really comes up. Not even every other week. I'm pretty sure we talk about this all the time, every week. Greg and I were very fortunate to attend the 2019 Royal Rumble in Phoenix, Arizona. First Royal Rumble for both of us. My first WWE pay-per-view. And so it's a special thing to be able to go to a live event. And when it is your, you know, first time, it adds just an extra special element. So very first Impact event and including it a pay-per-view. And this is a really, you know, a big pay-per-view for Impact. This has been one that some of these matches have been building up for months, including the main event, which has a lot of implications, not only for the company, but I think for professional wrestling as a whole. So we'll get into talking about each match one by one. Greg and I will discuss, provide our insight, but we'll be very interested in knowing what your insight is as fans. You can reach out to us on social media. Again, you can go to the ChairShot social media at ChairShot.com. I am on Facebook and Instagram at the hashtag Miranda. And Greg is online, even though he doesn't really check it, but he is, you know, somewhat online at ChairShotGreg.
I check it now, like, maybe once a day. Occasionally I'll skip a day, but there's a much better chance I'll see it now than maybe a month ago. So that's all I'll say about that. I mean, so I'm on, let me do some math here, figure it out. So November was 30 days. That's 61. I'm on day 68 of my new social media strategy, whatever you want to call it, thing. Day 68. It was supposed to be a one-day thing, and I'm on day 68.
It's 67 days later.
Better person because of it.
Sure.
If I do
say whatever you say, pal.
You're
so vain. Let's get into some of these matches. So the first match that we'll be talking about is Moose versus Rhino. Now, you have two huge men. Rhino also recently signing a new 2-year contract with the company. Moose has been someone that the company has been pushing for quite a while. Both, I mean, huge guys, very similar in stature. And so when you look at this match at face value, it's just two big guys fighting it out. And it could be a pretty big brawl, but I think that will be a really great thing for this pay-per-view for people who just like more traditional, you know, big guy matches. I don't necessarily have an opinion or a dog in this fight as far as who I think should win. But I think this match will maybe kind of pleasantly surprise us, because I don't think there's going to be a lot of people who maybe have high expectations for this match. But Moose is ridiculously athletic. And Rhino's still doing really well for his age and tenure in professional wrestling. So I do think that this match may go a little under the radar, but I think both of them are going to perform really well.
I agree. Rhino, I don't want to say he has a chip on his shoulder, but he definitely wants to prove, like, he voluntarily left WWE. He could have sat there and collected a paycheck and done well. Dude, like, lives on a houseboat now, like, sold his house and you know, after losing that election. But I think, you know, he's obviously in the later stages of his career, as is Moose probably. But I think this match is going to be surprising. So, I know you don't have a dog in the race, but come on. We got to pick. We got to pick a win.
I know, we got to pick.
So,
ooh, this will be a good one. I think Rhino will take this match. You made a good point about having a chip on his shoulder. He recently, I mean, and I know sometimes some companies will push someone right before they sign a new contract. I know he's already signed. But I don't think it's going to hurt Moose if he loses. And maybe this extends this feud into the next month. And maybe that's when Moose goes over. So I could see Rhino winning this round and this feud not ending.
Yeah, I thought about that. I ended up picking Moose with my selections. I just feel like he's going to... I think he has a little bit more of the trajectory for the company. I could see them want to do something with him. You know... getting somebody back in the title picture. There's a lot you can do with it. So it was a tough decision. I'm not going to say it was easy, but I did end up picking Moose as my winner there, as my victor. So I went Moose. So we disagree. It's good.
So we disagree.
It's a good thing.
Wow. No, it's a good thing. And I see we may disagree a little bit throughout this show, because I feel like this card is not going to be easy to pick. And some of it is because I haven't been actively watching Access and Impact as much as I would like, primarily because I don't have that channel. that's why I'm going to go see it live. That's the only way I could do it. The next match we have is Madman Fulton versus Ken Shamrock. And this started actually a while back. Madman Fulton, part of OVE, Ken Shamrock there to help Tessa Blanchard. So they've been kind of a subpart of the Tessa Blanchard and
Sammy Callahan
feud. And so this is kind of a subset of that. And they've really been looking like, you know, really pushing Madman Fulton. I mean, Ken Shamrock again, too. I mean, talk about Rhino. I mean, I think Ken Shamrock's still surprisingly pretty athletic. And, you know, the fans' response to Ken Shamrock has been really, really positive. But you made a good point in our conversations earlier that it's, you know, as far as the winner of this match and where this goes, depends on the longevity of Ken Shamrock within the company, it seems like.
I agree with you. It's fun to have Ken Shamrock there. I was a huge Ken Shamrock fan. Like, this is apparently going to be the 4-1 Mania show. I once had a column at 4-1 Mania. It was called The World's Most Dangerous Column, and the graphic was Ken Shamrock. Like,
so good.
So, I should bring that back. But it's
so good. Such a good title.
I still find the picture. I'll share it with you. But it was... So I have that, but Shamrock's not that anymore, and I just don't... You know, it doesn't make sense to me for Ken Shamrock to win this match. So it'd be a feel-good moment and all that, but I think the trajectory is with Madman Fulton in this one.
Yeah, and I agree. And kind of, you know, similar to the conversation we just had with Rhino versus Moose, though I picked Rhino, he just signed a new contract. I think physically he's still in really good shape, whereas, of course, Ken Shamrock is, but I just don't see that same parallel between Rhino and Ken Shamrock. I don't think Ken Shamrock has that much time left. And when you also see what they've been doing with OVE, and specifically Madman Fulton, they've really been building him up into a really, really good heel. So this one, I also agree with you that Madman Fulton will likely win this match.
And just to clarify, just to make sure everybody knows, Ken Shamrock is 11 years older than Rhino. Just so Rhino's 44, Ken Shamrock's 55. So.
Ooh. So random things that happen in wrestling. This past Saturday, I was at a local wrestling show here in Tucson called High Impact Wrestling. And one of the individuals that was in attendance there selling his merch in the flesh was Dan the Beast Severin. He was there accompanying, someone who's a amateur wrestler, a rookie wrestler, has worked with him and training him. He was there selling his stuff. Super nice guy. Very, very nice. And in fantastic shape. I mean, but yeah, to be that close to someone who could probably kill someone with their hands still probably. Total dad outfit, white polo, khakis, sneakers, but could probably kick all of our asses. Very unassuming, but it was a very cool thing because I definitely remember when, and this was more of the unorthodox part of, I think, his career is when he was brought into WWE, or at the time WWF, in the late 90s. He was still NWA champion. Also, in the time for Brawl for All. I mean, like that, those were my memories of him. Maybe not necessarily the most memorable, but I think that's also when he had a lot more of that recognition and exposure. But very, interesting thing that happens at a local wrestling show in Tucson. So that's also why we push for fans to go to your local wrestling show, because you never know when you may see Dan the Beast Severin in your local wrestling promotion in Tucson, Arizona.
Right? Who would have thought that? Dan Severin, surprisingly charismatic, just not whenever the camera was on him. Like, for some reason, he was great personality and could cut promos and just, but for some reason, when the camera was on, he just didn't do it. And that happens to some people. So.
Well, and you think about the time frame too. I mean, you were in the land of big personalities, dynamic personalities. So being a little bit more soft-spoken during that time frame wasn't going to help you. And even thinking about Ken Shamrock in the Attitude Era, I mean, he didn't necessarily cut the most dynamic promos, but I mean, the way that he could really snap, I mean, that was just awesome to see. And so I think that in the case of Ken Shamrock, what he's always going to be remembered for is that Ken Shamrock snap.
Agree.
The next match we have on the card is Brian Cage versus Rob Van Dam. And Rob Van Dam has been calling Brian Cage out, calling him the biggest mark. And we've really seen a big personality change with Rob Van Dam. He was always known as this really mellow, cool guy, a face for the most part. I think it'd been very hard for fans to view him as a heel. But since he's come back, now he has Katie Forbes on his side. He has his wife and his wife's girlfriend. I mean, you really see this new side of RVD that still seems very true to who he is. But this also exaggeration of this larger than life, this legend, but also someone who just doesn't feel like he has the time anymore. No time for fans, no time for, these new guys. And I've really liked this new direction for Rob Van Dam because he's just been the same guy for, 20 plus years. I do find this matchup against Brian Cage very interesting because even though Rob Van Dam is a very athletic guy, you can see a bit of his style having to change over the past few years just because of his health dynamic. And Brian Cage is one where, I mean, super athletic, super adaptable. So I could see this still being a really good match. But I feel like this matchup is a little out of place from what I've seen Brian Cage in over the past year. It makes it very hard for me to decide, who's going to win. My gut tells me Brian Cage, but I'm curious to see what you think, Greg.
The thing for me is that Cage is on his way out of Impact Wrestling, or at least I think he is. His deal's coming up, and I just don't think they're going to be able to keep him. And the sad thing for Brian Cage that was sad to me is his world title run just did not go the way it was supposed to go. He was hampered by injuries, and maybe a bad decision. Guy was injured, couldn't wrestle, but wanted to work the Battle Royal at AEW All Out. And it's like, okay, but you're hurt, and you're not working for your own company that you're the world champion of. And they were going to, you know, they wouldn't let him do it. I think he's gone. I think when that deal's up, he's going to go somewhere, maybe AEW, maybe somewhere else, who knows. Maybe they give him a good enough offer and he resigns. I don't know. But for that reason, and whereas Rob Van Dam has a lot of momentum on his side right now and has drawn a lot of heat, I think, probably thanks to Katie Forbes, Rob Van Dam's going to pick up the victory.
Good prediction. I mean, that whole dynamic between Rob Van Dam and Katie Forbes, I mean, seeing some of the videos of them just randomly making out in the back, I mean, it's kind of gross. I mean, it's a cute couple, but I mean, sometimes the way that they go all out, I'm just like, I feel gross watching this.
Only
I
Rob. Like I need to take a only Rob could do this.
But
really,
you know, I'm a big fan of transformations. I'm a big fan of people being able to, you know, reinvigorate their career and do something different. And again, Rob Van Dam has been doing the same thing, being kind of the same person for 20 plus years. Mm-hmm. And the fact that in this point of his career here, he's able to do something different. Hey, you do you, Rob Van Dam. But I can't see you make out with Katie Forbes anymore. It's gross.
You don't watch it anyway, so it's okay.
Yes, that's very good. Exactly because of that.
That's why.
The next match we have on the card, I know, and then it gets blind, is Eddie Edwards versus Michael Elgin. And this is for the Call Your Shot trophy. This is the trophy in which Eddie Edwards currently holds, and this means that he can challenge for the Impact Championship at any time. So,
I mean, maybe this is because Elgin stole it from him, and I don't know if it's a possession thing or like they haven't really explained that. You know, Elgin kind of has it right now, but I don't know if Elgin can exercise it because he stole it from him. I don't know. It's like,
well, yeah, I think this is for the proper ownership of the trophy.
Okay. Can we put it on a poll or something?
That's my understanding.
Can we put it on a poll?
Hopefully they elaborate on this. I'll just have to ask people when I get there. Be like, so tell me tell me what this particular match is about.
And then,
but
when they don't know, we'll laugh.
And then we'll laugh. We'll just be like, who knows? Greg, what are your thoughts on this particular match?
I like the match. So Michael Elgin's kind of on this like redemption tour. A lot of people know the trouble he was in, some things he was accused of, a lot of stuff that maybe he's been proven innocent of. I don't really know. I don't follow that too closely, but he got the chance with Impact Wrestling, immediately jumped into a feud with Brian Cage, and now he's kind of been working his way back up the ladder. Eddie Edwards, to me, it's kind of funny because he's had some interactions with him. I feel like Eddie Edwards is the next Tommy Dreamer, in my opinion, like the way he's working, the way he's being used. And that's not a bad thing at all. Like Eddie Edwards, when he was just this plain looking baby face with long hair in braids in Ring of Honor, no one thought he was going to be the Eddie Edwards that he is today. Just with the name Eddie Edwards. I mean, obviously it's a take on the music industry, a name in the music industry, but Eddie Edwards is, you know, far exceeded any reasonable expectations anyone could have had and is just beloved by so many people. But I think Elgin is the one moving up the card, and because it involves the Call Your Shot trophy, I got to go with Big Mike on this one and pick Michael Elgin to win the match, win rightful ownership of the Call Your Shot trophy, and that'll probably be a part of the story moving forward.
Yeah, you bring up a good point about this path that Michael Elgin has been on, and Impact has been a good platform for him to do that, and I think it's because the company believes in him as well. So putting him in the storyline, having him this close to this trophy, I agree that they wouldn't do all of this if they did not somehow allow him to gain possession of the trophy permanently. And with Eddie Edwards too, I mean, there's always going to be money in the chase. And so I could also see him being this guy who continuously gets close to these shots and these opportunities, but never can truly cash in on them. So this could be part of a longer story of Eddie Edwards continuing to fight his way and always something coming up that kind of knocks him down. But fans, I think, will continue to support him. And easily can see him build up into a bigger story one day where he could win the big title. And it's only going to mean that much more because of all these types of roadblocks like matches like this.
It's a bit of a redemption for Eddie Edwards if they do that. I mean, who would have thought that Eddie Edwards is a world champion in three different companies as part of his career? Like, that's just insane to me. Like, Ring of Honor world champion, Impact Wrestling world champion. He won the Global Honor Crown Championship in Pro Wrestling NOAH. It's just nuts, the accolades that he has achieved, but yet can still kind of be that underdog sometimes. Yeah. And can still sort of fulfill that role. And I could see him, yeah, I could definitely see him making that jump and being at the top of the card again for them at some point in the future. So craziness with Eddie Edwards. So who'd you pick?
I'm gonna agree with you though and say Michael Elgin.
Okay, that's what I thought, but I wanted to make sure.
Yeah, no, that's okay because I then swerved, diverted into a longer story, just justifying my pick.
You divert it to a longer story?
Come never. Never. Whoa, you cannot use
it. But I didn't use it in an actual situation. It was a pleasure.
That is banned. Banned from this show.
Is it?
Yes. That's a hashtag.
Why'd I just hear it? Why'd I just hear it right there if it's banned?
That's an official hashtag Miranda writes, Greg.
Oh, boy.
That means you have the right to remain silent. Everything you say and do can be used against you. That horn is banned from this show.
Forever?
Never again.
Never?
Hashtag never again.
Just like no buzzers ever? Like, are all buzzers just banned from the show?
No, just...
I have all these buzzers. I didn't realize I had so many buzzers. All right, then.
Wow, just, you can see the expression on Greg's face. Devastated. Devastated.
Sandpan. Wait, I got something for that. If I can find it.
Aw, Puddin.
Carry on.
We are now getting into the championship match. Whoa. I will find you, Greg. I will find you. I will hunt you down.
You know where I live.
Somewhere.
You have not, the address.
Not as. I don't. You think I do, but I don't.
You have access to
it. But I'll figure it out because I'm crazy. Don't even worry about it. I'm just crazy and I'll find it. Oh, anyways. Next, we have the Impact World Tag Team Championships. We have the current champions, the North, versus Rich Swann and Willie Mack. They've been going at it for quite a while, right, over the past few months. And a lot of shenanigans between these two teams. Issues with one-on-one matches, with disqualifications, interference. Recently, Ethan Page beat Rich Swann by disqualification on the end of the year edition of Impact after goading Willie Mack into the ring. The referee saw it and disqualified Rich Swann. But you could tell that there was some tension between Rich Swann and Willie Mack because of that. And that kind of fell right into the plans of the North. So a lot of tricks the North have been playing in this particular rivalry. And a special note that the North has been tag team champions for 187 days. A really strong tag team. I mean, Willie Mack and Rich Swann have come together and been a really impressive team. Both are very athletic. Both have really big personalities, so they've flown really well. A pretty big contrast from more of the traditional style of pure wrestling that the North provide. But it also seems like the North has been winning more in this mind games area. So it does leave people to wonder, you know, can Willie Mack and Rich Swann, you know, work together as a team, possibly one last time to win the tag team championships. I feel like the North just has, you know, that momentum. And maybe this dissension between Willie Mack and Rich Swann will lead to a split where we see Rich Swann and Willie Mack go up against each other. I know it's very textbook, but it's a great, you know, story they've been telling so far. And I can see that continuing to progress.
It is very textbook, and it makes sense, though. Like, it's okay to be textbook and do those textbook things sometime. Personally, I think Rich Swann and Willie Mack are going to win this match. They're going to overcome that. I think at the next set of tapings, they're going to lose him back, and that's when the partnership is going to fall apart. So I'm going to pick Rich Swann and Willie Mack. It's going to be but a bump in the road for the North, though, and they'll have those belts back around the waist of Ethan Page and Josh Alexander in no time. Probably this week or whenever the tapings are, but I'm picking Willie Mack and Rich Swann to specifically win at the pay-per-view.
All right. The next championship match we have is for the X Division Championship. We have champion Ace Austin versus Trey Miguel. Now, this goes a little bit into more of those different storylines, crazy storylines. This feud has revolved a lot around Trey's mom, where Ace Austin trying to flirt with Trey's mom, talks about Trey's mom, trying to get her attention, and talking about goading someone. I mean, Ace Austin really pulling all the stops to goat Trey Miguel and really getting him agitated that someone's trying to mess with his mom. I mean, everyone understands, you know, what Trey is going through if anyone's trying to mess with their mom. It's also a little creepy. I don't know. I just get this creepy vibe off Ace Austin. And maybe that's the intention. If that's the intention, congratulations, Impact. You're doing a great job. Ace Austin, you're doing a great job. If you're trying to get me to hate Ace Austin, I don't necessarily hate him specifically because of it, but he's certainly giving out some creepy vibes. But I also think this has been great for Trey to really help him stand out as an individual. I mean, he's been part of the Rascals and they've been pretty popular, but to have an opportunity for him to stand out, and in a silly way, but again, with the history a bit of both the Rascals, I think it would also be hard for us to take him in a more serious tone as far as like a more nitty gritty or traditional storyline when it comes to an opponent. So a different story that they're telling, but I'm intrigued. I've definitely, but these have been the videos that I've been watching because it's just weird. It's just Ace Austin is super creeping me out.
He's good at that, and it's weird because like when he talks, you're just like this sounds like he sounds like a child who shouldn't be able to beat anyone. So I'm picking Ace Austin. It's so wrestling, and it's something Impact Wrestling would do. I think Trey's mom's gonna turn, and I think they're gonna align Trey's mom with Ace Austin at least temporarily. And I think, and eventually she'll turn.
Trey's mom too. Is going to side with Ace Austin. That's deep. That's some psychological things he's going to go through.
Trey's mom is going to side with Ace Austin. It just screams what they would do in this scenario. And I'm picking Ace Austin, and I'm saying that Trey's mom is going to be the reason he wins.
You know, I would love to see the vice versa. I'd love to see Trey win because of his mom. Maybe his mom, you know, tries to flirt with Ace Austin. Maybe, you know, Trey's mom's in on it and they get Ace Austin's attention just long enough for Trey to get the pin. So I'm gonna say a new X Division champion, Trey Miguel.
All right. Well, there we go.
Our second to last match is for the Knockouts Championship. It is a triple threat match. Taya Valkyrie, who is currently the champion, against Jordynne Grace, against ODB. Now, this match was originally Taya versus Jordynne, but ODB came back into the fold just recently, and they were able to convert this into a triple threat match. And really, when you think about it, this match is more about Taya and Jordynne. They've been in a program now for quite some time. But I do like bringing ODB in. It must mean that they're going to continue this feud. Maybe ODB takes the pin. So in this case, I believe Taya will retain. She's been champion for quite a while, and I don't think they're necessarily ready to take the belt off of her yet. But I also think that that means that they're going to eventually do a one-on-one between Taya and Jordan. And right now, Jordan seems to be the most posed to become champion. But maybe they're stretching that out a little bit longer, building up the feud a little bit more, and also building up Jordan a little bit more. I do think that fans do like her, but maybe they're still not quite the support at that level that they would really like for a babyface.
I think they're going to pull the trigger on Jordan Grace. I really do. I think they're going to give her the win here. ODB, the win. I don't know when Ty is. I don't think Ty is long for this company. I don't know what her contract situation is. She has held the belt for, 367 days, over a year. Longest reigning champion in the country, in the company right now, and in most companies right now. Like, that's a long reign to have in this day and age in pro wrestling. And I do think that it's going to come to an end. I think they're going to pull the trigger. It's going to be Jordan Grace's time. And Taya, I mean, I can't imagine her not ending up in WWE at this point, since, Johnny Nitro Morrison Mundo's there. And that, I just think, is what, she's going to follow suit really as soon as the opportunity presents itself. I could see her, you guys asked her on the Greg DeMarco show about Johnny NMM going to NXT. I could see Taya going to NXT and being a part of that women's division for at least a brief period of time. Who knows? But I don't think she's long for Impact Wrestling, and I do think this is when Jordan Grace is gonna pick up that win.
I agree that Taya probably doesn't have that much time left in the company. I kind of, your theory that you mentioned earlier regarding Rich Swann and Willie Mack, as far as winning the tag titles and losing it at an upcoming taping, I kind of think that's something they would do with the women's title. I don't think that's going to happen at this show. I think that maybe Jordan wins it during a taping. And I think, depending on the placement of all these matches as well, because, all these title matches, depending on where they're placed, maybe we see multiple titles change during the show. But in talking about the main event, you also have to be strategic about, what titles change, because maybe it kind of loses meaning because of the main event. And we'll talk about kind of our theories, but that's one that I don't necessarily think would change on this show, but I could see happening at a future episode of Impact.
I think that's fair. I think it's very, very possible.
Now, the last match is for the Impact World Championship. The champion,
Sally Camahan?
Sally Camahan. If I ever said that to his face, that I think would be the last thing I would ever say. Yeah. Probably. Sami Callihan, the champion, versus Tessa Blanchard. Now, this has been going on for almost a full year, about 9-10 months. And we talked about this a little bit during the kind of end of 2019's Super Such Good Shit Show, how down things that we talked about a few weeks ago. That this, I think, it's been just a really transformative feud for both individuals and for Impact. Sami Callihan and Tessa have fought not as a, in this intergender, and not just in this match or this feud in intergender, just two wrestlers who have not liked each other, who have fought, who have clawed at each other, who have just beat the crap out of each other. And it's one, done things to elevate both of their careers. And now with the world title in the picture, it really just raises the stakes. I think, one, it was the right move to get the belt off of Brian Cage and put it to Sami Callihan. It was time that it was on a proper heel. And Sami Callihan is the best heel in the company, period. And one of the best in professional wrestling right now. He has an intensity. He has just this rotten to the core sense. And you can tell in his interactions with Tessa, he does not care that she's a woman. He does not care about her lineage. He does not care about anything about her. He just wants to beat the crap out of her. And it adds a sense of realness to the story. On the other side, you have Tessa, who you've really seen her evolution moving away from the knockouts division to wrestling men. And at first, you can kind of think, you know, maybe it was a one and done. Maybe it was a special attraction. She was involved in a lot of multi-man matches and tag matches. But it's, especially as of late, in the matches that she had with Sami Callihan, even in that Gauntlet match to become the number one contender, you're seeing this real different side of Tessa Blanchard and really seeing her just flexibility as a competitor. And I think it's the evolution of women's wrestling. It's going beyond women wrestling women. It's now women becoming more integrated into other stories with other performers, and that those being males. With that, it really is. This is the way that Impact stands to be different in an environment now in professional wrestling where it's ultra competitive. You have companies, you know, on the independent scene growing left and right, but now you have WWE still remaining on the forefront with Raw and SmackDown. Now you have NXT, you have AEW, you still have, you know, New Japan, you have just promotions left and right. One thing that we've talked about as fans that's important for a company to have is an identity. What makes them unique? What makes them different? And this, I think, is the story and the match that defines Impact now going into this new decade as this is how we're different. This is how we're taking chances. And very much in my opinion, I think Tessa Blanchard becomes the new world champion. You know, having the first woman to hold this belt for Impact, and in this age for women's wrestling, is meaningful for Tessa, of course, for the company, but really for women's wrestling, because after so long, you know, we've seen the women's evolution, the women's revolution happening, and in the WWE, especially with them headlining main events and or pay per views and. You know, how they've been involved in Hell in a Cell matches and the Royal Rumbles. But after a while, you got to think about what's that next step. And I think Impact has that in mind. I don't know, though, if this means Tessa's a champion for long. You've talked about, you know, where you see some people on this card, like Taya Valkyrie, you don't necessarily see staying with the company for long. It's been heavily rumored that Tessa's not going to stay with the company this year. And obviously, I mean, she could really go anywhere she wanted after this. I could easily see WWE trying to swoop her in. But this could also be the way that Tessa really just stamps her legacy in professional wrestling through this. So I'm thrilled about this match. I'm very excited to see it live. And just obviously my pick is Tessa Blanchard.
So you and I have talked about this before, not necessarily on the air, but when part of the creative process is when you get an idea and you have a plan, and then sometimes you just got to completely scrap it, set it aside, and try to think of something else. And so what I try to do here is figure out a way that Tessa Blanchard doesn't win, a way that she doesn't walk away as the Impact Wrestling World Champion. And they could save it, quote unquote, save it for, you know, a bigger pay-per-view, so to speak, because Hard to Kill is you know, not an event they've done every year. But they wrestled at Slammiversary last year in Dallas, Texas, and Sami Callihan won. So if she loses now, she's lost to him twice, it's then what? And then when she does eventually win, I think it kind of loses some of its luster. I don't think there's any other choice but to have her win here, unless she's out the door right afterwards, which I don't know anything about her contract situation. I don't think she's going to be out the door right afterwards. But if she is, then I don't even know why you do this match and you tell the story and then you don't have her win. I think she absolutely has to win. I think she will win. It kind of stinks because it sort of seems to shorten Callahan's run as champion a little bit. Like, you figure he would have had a longer run with the title, but I think it makes more sense to take it off of him than Brian Cage. He's doing his job, so to speak, and is doing a good job of it. What they do next is very interesting because there's two feuds that I really see outside of, you know, a rematch with Sami Callihan, which I think could happen. I think there's so much potential in douchebag Rob Van Dam versus Tessa Blanchard in the future for this company. Like, the way he's acting and the things that he's saying, he could say things about Tessa Blanchard and towards Tessa Blanchard and get away with it that some people couldn't say and get away with it. Like, they'd get canceled in our current cancel culture. But Rob wouldn't. Like, Rob can fully get it because people are like, oh, that's just his character. Whereas somebody else saying it, they'd be like, that's terrible. We never want to see that person again. And so I would love to see that feud take place. And I think there's a ton of potential in it if they go that direction. I also think they could eventually up the ante and have two women fight for the Impact World Championship. Like, I could literally see a situation where, depending on how long she's there, Taya Valkyrie challenges Tessa Blanchard for the Impact World Championship, or Jordynne Grace challenges Tessa Blanchard for the Impact World Championship as a main event of a pay-per-view. Like, I think that's going to be the next step after this. Like, sometimes you get the big step, and you're like, cool, it's it, we're there. And then you kind of get surprised with the next step, but I think that could be a surprising next step, maybe at a Slammiversary or even down the road at a Bound for Glory. Who knows? Depends on how long Tessa's going to be champion and how long she's going to be there. I would love that. I think the Impact's in a position where they could literally have two women fight over their world title, and a lot of people would love it, and it's going to get them attention.
Yes.
The thing about this match, and you have to get it right. What the outcome of this match is going to be talked about for a really, really, really long time. So Tessa needs to win. She does not need any help. I don't even want there to be interference from OVE at all to where she's able to thwart it and win. Like, I think this just needs to be one-on-one main event style match where she comes out on top, where she just wins and wins.
And I agree. I don't want there to be any shenanigans in this because I think it lessens her own legacy within the company. I mean, I could see OVE doing some initial shenanigans, but it not having the ultimate impact on how she wins.
Yeah, it needs to be forgotten about by the end of the match.
Yes, yeah. Or enough where, okay, OVE gets sent to the back, and then you really see Sammy and Tessa go one-on-one. And I think they'll do – I think the way that they built the story, I mean, you can tell they do not like each other. They hate each other. So that will be conveyed throughout the match, and I think that's half the battle. But you're right as far as the execution of the match itself, that there's going to be some, you know, some pressure on it for both of them to perform well, and especially what that pin looks like too, because it kind of brings me back to the women's WrestleMania main event, the triple threat. Everyone kind of remembers that botched pin, right? And everyone remembers, you know, still that celebration, but that celebration was a little bit diminished because people were looking for a more definitive three count, right? And something just kind of a more of a definitive ending, a period. Now, I think luckily with Tessa's finishing maneuver of Magnum, it's very easy to do that. She could definitely land one on him and call it 1, 2, 3. And I think they will. I think both of them are incredibly smart when it comes to working together in the ring, and what this match needs to look like. So I don't have any doubts as far as the psychology behind it, but also their execution, because we've seen it. I also don't think it particularly goes long, and I don't think it needs to. I don't think this needs to be, you know, 30 minutes. I think that the more concise they are with this, the more meaning it's going to have as well, as this big kind of exclamation point for Tessa. And also on a side note, this is not going to be the last time we see Sami Callihan with the title. Absolutely not. I see him having the belt again, probably sometime this year. How that works out, I'm not sure, but I do believe he will become champion again sometime in 2020.
I could see that. I could definitely see that taking place. Yeah, I think it'll be a long-ish match, like 18 to 20 minutes. I don't think it's going to need to be a crazy 30-minute match, but they're going to tell their story, and there's going to be some storytelling element to it. But you're right. Like, I do not want this match to end with a roll-up, a small package. Like, it needs to get that. You need to have, you know, however many people are in this place doing the 1, 2, 3 count right along with the ref, having the big pop. It needs to not be this shocking, surprising finish. It needs to be the finish where everybody's on their feet. You get the pop, you get the celebration. Like, it's a woman winning a world championship in the United States of America for a wrestling promotion. It needs to be that moment fully, 100%.
America.
Yes.
In Dallas. Come on now. I mean, that's like the heart. Like, I'm so excited for this. I think for a second I forgot that I was going to be there. And then when you started talking about that crowd reaction, that moment, I'm going to mark out. I'm going to mark the fuck out.
And you should. And you definitely
It's
going to
be
should.
Great. It's going to be awesome. I mean, like, absolutely. Like you said, it's 2020, a woman winning a male-dominated title in it's an international wrestling company, you know? I mean, like, what else can you say? Like, it's a beautiful time to be alive, everyone. It's a beautiful time.
Now, if they don't do it, my goodness, like...
Oh, we riot.
Yeah, I think people might.
Like, I guess I have... Do I have to make the sign now? If Sammy wins, we riot?
No, I don't think you do. I don't think you need to make the sign.
I know. It's Dallas. They're going to be like, what in the world? But if we were New York, then the sign would have been made.
True. I agree.
I was going to... I'm not an East Coaster, but I feel like it's a very East Coast thing to do.
I can see that. I can see that. I agree.
I'm very excited to report back next week. I will be talking about my experience at Hard to Kill in Dallas with the fans at my first Impact show. So make sure you stay tuned for next week's show. I will also be doing my best to post clips and pictures on social media. So again, you can follow me on Facebook and Instagram at the hashtag Miranda. I hope to be providing some insight for thechairshot.com. So don't forget, go to thechairshot.com for all your latest wrestling news, analysis, and opinions.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
And don't forget, let us know what you think about the show, about Impact's Hard to Kill. You can go and visit The Chair Shot on social media at thechairshot.com. You can also bug Greg on social media. He doesn't really care because he's not on social media that much. At Chairshot Greg.
Yep, you can bug me. I've been more buggable lately. I don't think I'll ever be as buggable as I once was, but
yeah,
it's possible.
Bugaboo. But thank you, everyone, for listening to this week's show. Come back next week where we're going to talk about and recap Impact's Hard to Kill. Hey, thanks for listening. 2020, baby.
Oh, you're done, aren't you? Like that was it.
That was it. I mean, like,
that fast.
Okay. I mean, I guess I could come up with a thing. You got no choice, babe.